Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Compared to the vague and inaccurate predictions made by today's so-called psychics, the Bible's prophecies are astonishingly detailed and precise. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah examines an event that sets the clock in motion for Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks and underscores that pinpoint accuracy. Continuing his message, The 70 Weeks of Daniel, here's David.
And thank you for joining us. Today we begin part two of The 70 Weeks of Daniel, looking at the schedule that God gave to Daniel through the metaphors and imagery of his prophecy that is so accurate and so traceable that anybody who has an objective mind will say this is truly a miracle portion of God's word. Well, today we are going to finish up this week in the book of Daniel, because tomorrow we're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to take a day away from Daniel tomorrow to get ready for Easter. So open your Bibles once more to Daniel chapter 9, and once again, the 70 weeks of Daniel.
The famous Jewish historian Flavius Josephus of Jerusalem, whose long life began during the time of Jesus' ministry, one time sat down to write this about Daniel 9, 24 to 27. He said, "It is fit to give an account of what this man Daniel did, which it is admirable to hear. For he was happy as to have strange revelations made to him, and those as to one of the greatest of the prophets, insomuch that while he was alive, he had the esteem and the applause of both the kings and the multitudes." And we found that to be true. "And now he is dead," said Josephus. "He is dead, and he retains a remembrance that will never fail, for the several books that he wrote and left behind him are still read by us until this time. And from them we believe that Daniel conversed with God, for he did not only prophesy of future events, as did the other prophets, but he also determined the time of their accomplishment." So wrote Josephus. What a thrilling thing for a secular historian, as it were, to write concerning a prophet, that as he read his writings, it became obvious to him that here was a man who talked with God. And not only did he receive prophecies that he passed on to us through his writings, but his prophecies also contained the time of their accomplishment. When we understand, as we will, the nature of this great prophetic section of Scripture, we will understand why Josephus was able to make such a statement. For here before us is a prophecy that actually determines the time of its accomplishment. Now, as we've studied the ninth chapter, we've been excited to learn that the prophecy did not occur in a vacuum. The context is very important, and as we have looked into the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, we have seen, first of all, the secret of Daniel's prophecy, that he was a man of prayer, and all of the various forms that took place in his praying are laid out before us in the first 19 verses, his confession, his praise, his magnifying of God. It was in that setting that God spoke to him and gave him this dynamic prophecy that's before us. We've looked at the setting of Daniel's prophecy. As we began the 20th verse, we noticed that while Daniel was praying, while he was confessing his sin and the sin of his people, while he was speaking, while he was in an attitude of prayer, the Bible says that the angel Gabriel was dispatched and touched him on the shoulder and said, "Daniel, O beloved of God, while you began to pray, the commandment went forth, and I was dispatched from heaven, and here I am, and I've come to tell you concerning the desires of your heart." And then we went from the secret of the prophecy and the setting of the prophecy, and we spent a few moments on the sense of the prophecy, doing the spiritual mathematics, if you will, learning that the prophecy speaks of 70 weeks of years, not of days. In fact, as I was studying, I was reminded that there's a beautiful symmetry in this prophecy that goes like this. There were 490 years before the captivity of the Israelites that are very significant, because for those 490 years, the Jews violated their Sabbath year. It was that 490 years, or their 70 of Sabbaths, that caused God to finally take the Jews into captivity. So in the middle, there's the 70 years of captivity. And God is now saying to Daniel through the angel, he's saying, Daniel, just as the 490 years of the past, when you violated the Sabbath, have consummated in this time of captivity, there's going to be another 490 years in the future. And the Bible says that 490 years were cut out, were determined concerning the Jews. And so we move from the secret of Daniel's prophecy to the setting of Daniel's prophecy. We talked about the sense of Daniel's prophecy, understanding that the week of years has to do with actual years, and that those years have how many days, class? 360 days. And then we talked about the subject of Daniel's prophecy, which is clearly given to us in the text. For God, through the angel, says to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The subject of this prophecy is God's continuing plan for the Jews. It's not a Gentile prophecy, and it does not necessarily refer to us only in so much as the fact that in this prophecy, the Messiah is prophesied. And we participate in that. We've talked about the secret and the setting and the sense and the subject of Daniel's prophecy. And then we looked at the sequence. We noticed that there's an outline in the way the prophecy's laid out in the scripture. Verse 24 is the entire scope of the prophecy. Verse 25 deals with the first 69 weeks. Verse 26 is the parentheses between the 69th and the 70th week. And then the last verse has to do with the last week. We're going to talk about verse 25, the first 69 weeks. So let's read it together. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. We've talked about the secret and the setting and the sense and the sequence and the subject. We're going to talk about the start. And I hope I don't run out of S's before we run out of prophecy. The start of the prophecy. Now, Daniel 9:25 states that the starting point of the 70 weeks is the issuance of a command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. Notice what it says. It says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. In other words, the starting point of the prophecy is when a commandment goes forth to rebuild the city. Notice at the end of the verse that it says the city is going to be rebuilt, including the street and the wall. Let me just a moment talk about those two words, the street and the wall, because they're important. The word street there literally means the broad places. It speaks of the gigantic plaza within the inside of the wall of Jerusalem, the open court place. Daniel is told that there's going to be a commandment that is issued to rebuild the city, including the great open court within the inside of the walls, the center of city life. The inside square is going to be rebuilt. And then notice the last word in that verse. Not only the street is to be rebuilt, but the wall. And that word wall in the Hebrew language is very interesting. It's a word which literally means a trench. It very well could mean the moat that goes outside of the wall to protect the city from its enemies. And if I could translate it so it would just be easy for us to understand, what the angel said to Daniel is this. He said the beginning of the 490 years that are yet ahead for Jerusalem and for Israel begins when a commandment is given to rebuild the city, including the inside of the city and the outside, to rebuild the whole city. So, the start of the 70 weeks of Daniel can be found if we go back into history and into the scripture and find the command that was given to restore and rebuild the city. Now you say, Pastor Jeremiah, is there anything like that in the Bible? Well, unfortunately for us, there is. Not only is there one, there are four. And they all came at a different time. And we need to decide which one is which. And we're going to do a little Bible reading. So if you brought your Bible, you need to turn to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. the four possible decrees that are available to us to begin the 70 weeks of Daniel are all included in the book of Ezra, with the exception of the last one, the first three. I want you to turn, first of all, to Ezra chapter 1. Now, hang with me, because we have to keep our thinking caps on. If you don't concentrate, if you go off gathering wool someplace, you're going to get lost, and I can't be responsible for you after that. I want you to stay with me and think clearly about what we're talking about. Now remember, we're saying that this prophecy that we're going to examine begins at a specific time in history. That time is the time when a commandment is given to go forth and build the city of Jerusalem, including its inside and its outside. Now, one of the decrees that is used by some prophetic students to begin the 70th week is the decree that is given to us in Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, I'm going to read this passage, and I'm going to emphasize a phrase. I want you to underline that in your thinking, if not in your Bible. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and he also put it in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Let's just stop right there. The last phrase. God has charged me to build an house which is in Jerusalem. And the rest of this, then, is a decree allowing the people of the Jewish community to build what? The house of God. What is that, class? That's the temple. All right? Let's go on to Ezra chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, where Darius really confirms the commandment that's already been given. Notice verse 6, Ezra chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. "Now, therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river," and I won't try that one, "and your companions who are beyond the river, be ye far from there. Let the work of this," what? "House of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in its place." All right? What does that commandment have to do with? The rebuilding of what? The temple. Okay? Let's go on to the third one. Chapter 7, verses 11 through 26. This is the first decree of Artaxerxes. "Now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of the statute of Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace," and so forth. "I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and all of his priests and Levites in my realm who are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem go with thee, forasmuch as thou art sent by the king and by his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, to carry silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all province of Babylon for the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offer willingly," for what? "For the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem." Now, go back in your Bibles to Daniel 9. Just hold your place where you are. And let's ask ourselves a question. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build" what? "Jerusalem unto Messiah." There are many who have dated the beginning of the 70 weeks of Daniel from these three decrees, but there's something very, very, very wrong with that. What do those first decrees give permission to do? To rebuild the temple. And Daniel very clearly says that the 70 weeks begins from the moment in time when a king gives permission for the city to be rebuilt, including the inside plaza and the outside walls. So those can't possibly be the decrees. In fact, let me just throw this in for your own information. The first decree here was made in 536 BC. And if you add to that the 483 years, which are the years of the 69 weeks of Daniel, you come out at 54 BC, or some 80 years away from Christ. You say, well, that's close. Unfortunately, God is interested in being more than close. So not only is it wrong because it decrees the wrong thing, but it doesn't fit the prophetic record either. The third decree, or Artaxerxes' decree, the second one was really a confirmation of the first, but Artaxerxes' decree was made in 458 B.C. If you add 483 years to that, you come out at 25 A.D., and the closest thing you can find to that, even in most chronologies, is the baptism of Jesus. And that wasn't when Jesus was presented as Messiah the Prince. So not only are these first three decrees not right because they don't decree the right thing, but they don't fit the structure of the prophetic word either. So we're down to the last one, and with that in mind, turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. And just stay with me now, and I'll show you how this all fits together in just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 2. And I want you to read in your Bibles as I read from mine, beginning at the first verse of chapter 2. Notice specifically verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that kind of information, because that's going to be important to us. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very much afraid and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher lies waste, and its gates are consumed with fire. The king said unto me, For what dost thou make a request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my fathers, that I may build what? The city. The king said unto me, and this is what I love. The king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. I have a feeling she may have run the show. She sort of inserted there, you know. The king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may let me pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which is near to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, which of the four decrees fills the prophecy that we have read? Obviously, the decree of Artaxerxes given to us in Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, Dr. Alva McLean, who's written a very beautiful little book on the 70 weeks of Daniel, points it out this way. Listen carefully to what he says. These decrees, he said, the first three, without any exception, have to do with the rebuilding of the temple, not the city. In every case, the decree concerns the house of the Lord. But there is no authorization for the rebuilding of the city, and it is an interesting fact, listen to this, that the rebuilding of the temple was stopped because of accusations from Jewish enemies that the Jews were attempting, without any authority, also to rebuild the city. So when you go back and you put these three decrees together, all of which have to do with the rebuilding of the temple, it's interesting to note that on one occasion, and you can read about this in Ezra 4, they literally stopped the building of the temple because they were accused of also building the walls of the city, and everybody knew that no decree had been given to rebuild the walls of the city. So obviously the decree hadn't gone forth yet. So when we come down to the end of this, we believe the decree in Nehemiah is the correct one. There's a direct reference to the restoration of the city. We've seen that in verses 3 and 5. Artaxerxes writes a letter to Asaph getting permission so that they can bring beams together to build the wall of the city. And the book of Nehemiah, if you've read that, indicates that the last part of this prophecy in Daniel 9:25 is fulfilled. For the scripture says this is going to be done in troublous times. If you haven't read Nehemiah recently, go back and read the book and you'll discover that they literally built the walls of that city, and much of the building was done with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Because they were so persecuted in getting that job done, they had to post guards, and they were inundated with attacks from without. They tried to infiltrate their ranks and destroy the project. So the rebuilding of the walls of the city, as decreed by Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2, is the starting place of Daniel's 70 weeks. Now, when did that happen? I'm glad you ask, because I found that out. Artaxerxes can be documented. Artaxerxes began to reign, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, in 465 B.C. Now, go back to the book of Nehemiah. I told you you're going to have to work hard, so stay with me. Nehemiah chapter 2, and let's notice what it says in Nehemiah 2:1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in what year of Artaxerxes? The 20th year. This is a very firmly established fact that Artaxerxes began to reign in 465 B.C. It's now the 20th year of his reign. So you add 20 years to 465 B.C. And remember, in the B.C. years, you don't go forward, you go backwards. So you're down to what? 445 B.C. Now, I've got to honestly tell you that the chronology that is here, according to Sir Robert Anderson, is not agreed with by everyone, and I'm going to just say a word about that later and give deference to my friend Harold Honer, who has a different idea about where this is all going to end up. But just stay with me for a few moments, will you? The decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild the city, which begins the 70 weeks of Daniel, took place in 445 B.C. And the scripture tells us what month. What month was it? Month of Nisan. All right? The month of Nisan. Now, if you take 445 B.C. and the first day of Nisan, and you add 483 years to that, and by the way, the first day of Nisan is March 14th, according to our calendar. We don't have a Nisan, and our months are not contiguous with theirs. So March 14th is the first day of Nisan, and you add that, you come out to a date that we're going to talk about in just a few moments. But I want to remind you now that we're talking about the start of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we're configuring that from the day when Artaxerxes made his command in 445 B.C.
Well, don't get lost, and you don't have to. We have all kinds of notes, and it's really very, very fascinating. I don't take you down this road very often. Once in a while, we need to do something like this to just challenge our own minds and ask God to help us grab hold of this truth and learn it well enough to talk about it with somebody else. As I mentioned to you, tomorrow we're going to talk about the resurrection. Tomorrow is a Good Friday, and it's the last broadcast we have before we celebrate Easter on the weekend. So we'll dedicate tomorrow's teaching to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the account from the book of Luke. And I hope you'll join us then. We'll see you next time right here on Turning Point.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, The Handwriting on the Wall, please visit our website where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. And when you do, ask for your copy of Amir Safati's book, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times. The book and a Prayer for Israel bookmark are yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard Version and the New International Version, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, all in your choice of attractive cover options. Go to davidjeremiah.org/radio for the details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow for the Easter message, The Resurrection of Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.